People will treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
Welcome to the Jackie Ray Show.
Welcome back to the Jackie Ray Show. I'm, of course, your host, Jackie Ray. Thank you so much for joining. If you are listening or watching, yes, you can do both on Spotify. Please make sure you subscribe. Give this podcast 5 stars. If you're watching it on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe there as well. Hit that notification bell. I have listened to the demands as well. I know some of you said, hey, them 38-minute podcasts, we just not watching those on YouTube. So I will be breaking it out into segments. So make sure you hit that notification bell so you can see the segment that best suits your needs. I am excited about today's episode. I have Miss Cheryl Viena. Now, she is an actress that I think you guys are definitely going to want to hear from, especially if you have any doubts about stepping out in faith and building your own brand. I can tell you from my perspective, it looks like AI is about to take over. Skynet is real. So I'm a little concerned about that. If you don't know what Skynet is, I'm very disappointed in you, but we will move on. But building your own brand, realizing that you are a beautiful being and that you have something that nobody else has to offer. I don't know what that is, but tap into that. Figure out a way to make money off of that. But I would like to offer you a piece of advice that I have not followed in every single one of my business relationships. And it's something that my dad told me very early on in life. And that is, people will treat you the way you allow them to treat you. So yes, probably when you first start building your brand, you're going to have to do some things for free because you don't have a portfolio. You don't have that voice yet. You don't have that name recognition. That's fine. Do things for free. However, doing things for free and paying to work are two different things. So if you saw my Instagram page this past weekend, I said, hey, if you can't pay for parking, don't call me, right? I have a business relationship personally that I did not take my dad's advice on. And I have for years been footing my own costs, paying for all of my own equipment, which is fine because that's part of my brand, right? But I'm paying for gas money, travel, whatever, and parking. So I brought this up in a situation that happened. I said, hey, you said I wasn't gonna have to pay for parking and now I have to pay for parking. That individual was like, oh, I went back to the company and I told them to reach out to you to reimburse. First of all, why would I have to have any interaction with this company, right? But now I've put myself in a situation because I haven't made any demands. I haven't set the precedence on how I wanna be treated. And now there's animosity there, right? Because first of all, I'm not falling for the okie doke. Second of all, why are you trying to play me like I'm stupid? And finally, now how am I going to correct this behavior that I've basically allowed to happen? So now making demands that you've never made before, especially with friends. And if you're thinking about going into business with friends or family, you need to dot every I and cross every T. You should do that anyway, because that's part of business. But family and friends will always want to get that homie discount. And that does not exist. It just doesn't, especially when you start now. So I'm just encouraging you to make sure you know that people are only going to treat you the way you want to be treated. And in business, it should be the way you demand to be treated. So even if you're doing stuff for free, I'm going to encourage you. Somebody left this comment on my Instagram page. And even though it's something that I knew, I've definitely been laxed in that. Get a contract. Even if you're doing things for free, get a contract. One of the things I should probably start putting in my contract is if I'm bringing my equipment, which obviously I am, and my equipment is damaged, you are going to be liable for this amount of money because this is not cheap. It's not cheap. And anytime you step out and you're doing this kind of work, I don't know if you've noticed, but things is crazy. Things can get real crazy real quick. And I have a friend that understands that. Raven and I are going to be starting a new show that I hope you will see by the end of February, because we definitely want to get it out during Black History Month. But her and I out the gate was like, okay, what does this mean for us contractually? How is this money going to be spent once we start getting money? Because yes, we are believing we are going to get money. If we get money because of this show, like if people say, oh, I saw you on the show, can you come? How does that look? We've already started dotting those I's and crossing those T's. I'm not saying that we won't get a bump in the road later, but we're doing our due diligence now. We've already set this precedence that we're going to lead with business first, despite the fact that she's one of my closest friends and I love her like a sister. That's my advice for you. My other advice for you is to tap in with Cheryl Viena. That's happening. She's coming up right now, because especially if you're somebody who has doubt in yourself, you know, deep down inside, if you're listening to this, I can feel it in my spirit. You know, deep down inside that you have some kind of crap. I don't care if it's knitting. I almost bought a knit dress the other day, but you know, I'm scared. Just holes and stuff. I don't know what's gonna pop out. But if it's knitting, whatever it is, you have some sort of skill set that's uniquely you that you could market it. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how whatever you feel that you are. Cheryl Vienna literally dove into something she wanted to do as a young lady. But technically, as far as this Hollywood age thing, way too old to do that, but she did it anyway. And now she is in a movie called Freaky Tales that debuted at the Sundance Film Festival. She's going to tell us about that, plus overcoming a health scare right now.
And thank you, Jackie, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to have you. I do want to kind of start at the beginning, though, because I do remember being in high school and saying, okay, what am I going to do? What college am I going to go to? What am I going to major in? And because you were in the corporate world for 25 years, I feel like you might have had something similar. So when you're in high school, what was the first thing you said to yourself? Where did you decide to go to school and why?
Well, when I'm in high school, actually, I wanted to do what I'm doing now. I thought, well, I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be a model. I wanted to be a fashion designer. And all of that at the time seemed very lofty. And my mother said, you want to be an engineer? I said, yeah, I want to be an engineer.
Exactly.
Because I had been in an engineering program in high school. So I lived in Indianapolis. Off I went to Purdue University. I followed that track, got several corporate jobs, did very well, climbed the ladder, but always in the back of my head was, I want to do all these other things, mm-hmm. and I believe that I can. So I got to a point where I said, it's time.
Yep.
It's time. But back in high school, it wasn't set. I wasn't that person that said, I'm definitely going to go be a lawyer, and I'm going to go do that. And
right.
I'm definitely going to be an engineer. It was, I wanted to do all these creative things and didn't know quite how to get them done. Mm-hmm. And of course, they are risky. And you know, your parents want you to focus on something that is not as risky. And I thank her, my mom, for that all the time.
Yes.
But it enabled me to be able to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah. So, and I don't want to sleep on that either, because as a woman, especially a Black woman, climbing up that corporate ladder, let's not sleep on that. That's difficult as well. Can you kind of tell us about the challenges you experienced in that world?
Yes, climbing the corporate ladder is not something for the weak at heart. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. There are challenges. There are challenges for everyone. There's definitely challenges for being a Black woman, because you have to be twice as good, or maybe three times as good. And many times you are the only one in the room. Mm-hmm. And as I was coming up, there weren't very many female role models that I could look up to. So it was quite a challenge. And I was also, part of that time, a single mom doing it. And that makes it even more difficult, because no one really wants to hear your challenges as a mom.
Right.
You are here. We want to see you perform. So you have to handle that delicately. And then you also have to handle your personality delicately. You can't be too assertive, too aggressive, you know, you play that line while still making your point.
Right.
Interesting times. I enjoyed it. And then I said it was time to transition.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that 25 years in the corporate world really kind of shaped you for this new role that you're in, as far as being an actress and up and coming in the entertainment world?
I believe so, because I believe since I was able to survive and do well there, the skills that I learned are transferable over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, it is not. I didn't learn acting over there, but I learned resilience. I learned to continue on. I learned how to set deliverables and try to achieve them. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it helped.
So in 2009, you had this life-changing moment where you were diagnosed with breast cancer. Can you kind of walk me through the moment you got that diagnosis and how that impacted you in that moment?
Well, the moment I got the diagnosis, interesting. I found out 3 days before I was actually going to get married that I had it. And at that point, we decided, okay, we're still going to continue on. We're not going to tell anybody. And so we're going to manage through this. We eventually did tell people. And through that process, we ended up moving to Malaysia. And let me back up. So also right after, maybe a year or so after that, my company offered a buyout, an executive buyout. Okay. And I was actually sitting getting chemo at the time. And I thought, this is for me. This is, and you don't know how long you're going to live with any major diagnosis. And do I, am I doing what I want to do? Not exactly. So I decided at that point, I'm going to take it and I'm going to go pursue the things that I want to do. I ended up going back to corporate America for a half second and then came back and said, no, when you have any type of life diagnosis like that, it makes you intentional. Right. It makes you focus. It changes your perspective. And I tell people all the time, I'm in the vein of filling up the dash. The dash is that little line, born on, died on. It can say, worked at XYZ company for 1 year or 10 years. But you only get that one line. What else is that dash going to say? So I'm in the business of filling up the dash.
I love that. That's my new motto, filling up the dash. I really like that. How, I just want to, when you said you went ahead with the wedding, how was that going through with the wedding? And you know this, but you're still having to have this happy moment. How did you manage that?
I was so, at the time, I was so in that corporate moment of, okay, this is just another project that I'm going to have to manage. Okay. You know, I had wedding gifts on my desk because that was supposed to be the last day of work. I had people coming in. I did tell my maid of honor and my other close friend, but I didn't want it to be a pity party.
Right.
And my breast surgeon told me that I could go ahead, have the wedding, have the honeymoon if I promised to come back in 2 weeks and have surgery. So I said, okay, I will do that. And that's what we did. And then I ended up, the margins weren't clear. So 2 weeks later, we had to go back in again. And then chemo, radiation, all of that. Went through the process, but here I am.
So, and again, I think people, especially who've not gone through the process, I've watched my mother and my aunt go through the process. And I think a lot of times for us as women, how we see ourselves as women and where how we see our beauty is defined sometimes by our breasts and definitely by our hair. So, you know, Black women have a very unique relationship with hair.
They do. Yes, they do. I'm loving yours. And it's taken me a long time to embrace mine. Because I had longer hair going through this. Hair fell out. I was bald for quite a while. I was bald. Then it would grow back a little piece here, a little piece there. I'm like, okay. Then finally I decided, you know what? I just have to embrace this. And it allows me to speak about what God has done for me, allowed me to be here to use all the skills and gifts that he's given me. And it's a conversation starter. So yes. I just said, it's me. Now, sometimes it's all white. When I first got here, I made headshots and my hair was all white. No black in it at all. Now you see black. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's black spots. It's me. That's who I am. And I learned to embrace it. And I get tons of compliments on it. But it took a minute.
You're absolutely stunning. So, of course, you'd get lots of compliments.
I have all kind of wigs, too. I have, I don't know, long, short, blonde, red, purple, trying to figure it out. And then I was like, no, they're hot. When I was living in Malaysia, I was wearing wigs. I tell you, I'd be in a meeting, and it'd be like a puddle of water under my wig. And I'm just kind of patting, you know, like, it's okay. It's Then I realized it's not for me. It's not going to work. And we're just going to have to embrace this. And this is kind of, I don't know, but I decided if you don't like it, don't look.
Amen. Come on. And that's so true. It's so, when I decided to dive head first back into journalism, because I started in music and but my degree is in communications. I'd been freelancing for about 6 years before I got like a steady job, and it was overseas on an island called Saipan. I bought about 30 wigs and went over there. The average temperature in Saipan is like 99 degrees.
Right. The same with Malaysia and Singapore.
I was like, this is my own personal torture. I don't like this.
Right. I don't like it at all. Just give it up. Just let it go.
Yes.
I mean, it works for some people. I'm not knocking it, but for me, it didn't work. So, and that was a process again to come to where I am now. I had friends. Oh, then I wasn't comfortable with the gray. So then I was spraying black on it. Oh. And you touch your hair and the black comes off on your clothes, the fibers. So I went through that too. And I finally had a friend that told me, Cheryl, just let it go. Just right. embrace what it is. Okay. All right. But it took a minute for me to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that with beauty standard.
The body image. I had two lumpectomies and they're not even, and like, okay, again, don't like, don't look.
Right.
And that's how I embraced that.
I love that. That's one of those stories that's always going to be, I feel like people can just take that little clip and then apply it to anything, especially women, Black women in our country. We go through so much. And I thank you so much for sharing that story.
You're welcome. We go through a lot, and we go through people judging us for your hair, your lips, your clothes, your all of that. So you have to be confident within yourself to say, right. I am enough. And not look at the images that we see portrayed on social media, on TV, et cetera, et cetera. Know within yourself, I am enough.
Yes. You know?
And for those
yes.
people that are in corporate America, and many times women are scared to take the role because they don't think that they have all the qualifications. Well, that role probably wouldn't have been available if that person who had it before you had all the qualifications and had done a sufficient job. So you just have to do it.
Yes. You preaching a good word today.
All right, Sister Jackie.
I love it. I love it. So you were in Indianapolis before you decided to move to LA, right?
Well, a while ago. I'm from Indianapolis.
Okay.
The journey from Indianapolis to LA is a few cities and countries in between.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, a few corporate jobs and stuff in between. Yeah. So that would be Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Northern California, Malaysia. Now here.
I talk to a lot of people in the acting industry right when they're getting into it. And I'm always fascinated by it because I took a couple of acting classes, and that's when I really gained a newfound respect for what actors do, because it really is you having to dig into a part of yourself that you may or may not want out there.
Well, this is true. And that is something that was different for me too. I had not ever taken an acting course before I got here. I took some commercial acting, but not like Meisner acting, anything like that. So I enrolled in Playhouse West, where I still attend. And I was probably the worst student because, you know, in corporate America, you cannot show emotion. There is no crying. There is no somebody, you're like this. And so my first acting class, you know, people are yelling and screaming. I'm thinking, what is wrong with them? They're... Something is wrong. So we have this activity where the young lady, she's calling me out of my name and all this. And so you're supposed to let it affect you. And I was looking at her like, this child has a problem. This child has a real problem. And my instructor was like, Cheryl, she just called you the B word. How can you sit there? I said, because I know I'm not. That's what she did. It took me a minute to learn how. So you're a musician. Those emotions are, I call it your emotional keyboard. You know, you have to be able to go play the sad, the mad, and everything in between. But when I showed up, I was like, I know I'm good, and I know she's crazy. And so it helped a lot having actual acting classes. I think many people look at acting on TV and they go, I can do that. That's not necessarily so. There's a lot of work that goes into looking like it's natural.
So I know you've done some modeling as well. Yes. If I'm just looking at you, I know you've done some modeling. How'd you get into that?
Well, let's see. Of course, like you, you've probably been tall all your life. And all my life, people were, are you a model? And at that point, when I was younger, I was like, no, I'm not a model. Because that whole stigma. Now when they say, are you a model? Yes. I am a model.
Yes.
Very much. So I dibbled in and out of it. And then I finally said, actually, when I got the diagnosis, that was one of the things I said to myself, gosh, I didn't get to model. What are the things that I really wanted to do? And that was one of them. So with the agencies, I told them that was, you know, one thing I wanted to do. I always wanted to be, you might remember the cologne line, Estee Lauder. They used to have this one oval-faced Caucasian lady on every Mm-hmm. And I used to go, that could mm-hmm. be my face. That could be my face. Right. And now I'm happy to say on several beauty lines, it is my face.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the ones that I'm really excited about, Lady Gaga, working with her and her makeup brand, Haas Labs, me and about 8 other individuals were on the campaign that was in like 480 Sephora stores. So most of the other individuals, mm-hmm. all the other individuals were in their 20s or 30s. And I was a few years older than that. And I was like, that's wonderful. Yeah.
I love that. I love how the beauty industry is changing a little bit. It used to be it was all white women or white men, and there wasn't much diversity. And then when we did get diversity, we didn't get much age diversity. Right. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I hear young people be like, you know, oh, that old man. And that's funny to me because I'm like, isn't getting old the goal?
Yes, like, getting old is the goal. I tell people all the time, you know, when you're old, one day after you die. After that, right. you just keep going and doing it because no one knows when that expiration date is up. So you keep doing it. And as mm-hmm. far as modeling and images for mature women want to see people who look like them, you know, selling right. the clothes, selling the makeup. And the baby boomers are getting older. They don't want yeah. to see necessarily a 20-year-old modeling something. They want to see a more mature person going, yeah, I can be that person. I can do that too. Mm-hmm. So it just happens to be, this is my time. You know, when I was younger, right. there were tons of people who looked just like me. But now mm-hmm. as we're aging, you know, the people who still want to do this, they're off doing something else.
I want to talk too, because you are not just an actress and a model and just an all around dope person. You're also a film creator. When I read that, I was like, that's so amazing because you're the executive producer of Sunshine Noodles and Me, which is your journey through the diagnosis of breast cancer. And I think that's such a task, and it's so admirable when people can make their journey into a creative space that other people can relate to. When did you decide, you know what, this is something that could impact other people's lives and I have to create it? When did that moment happen?
Interesting.
For you?
So, you know, I've always all my life wanted to write a book. I still haven't written a book. Well, while I okay. was living in Malaysia, I said, you know, I want people to see what it looks like to live here. And I want to tell the story, the breast cancer journey. How do we marry those two together? I wanted people to see that you could get through anything pretty much with love, faith, and wellness, you know, if you mm-hmm. remain positive. So actually I reached out to some friends, a friend, Joyce Fitzpatrick, who I knew from high school, and I knew she okay. was a filmmaker living out here, and I told her this is what I wanted to do, and we sat down with her and her partner, Brian, and we came up with this concept. We actually shot it in Malaysia, in Dallas, in Indianapolis. And it's pretty much, like I said, a heartwarming story that just talks about how you get through a challenge. So anyone mm-hmm. can relate to it. It doesn't have to be breast cancer. It could be any illness or anything you're going through. How you go through it gets you to the other side. And that's how it came about. And the title, Sunshine Noodles and Me,
yep.
sunshine, because of course it was sunny all the time there. Noodles, because oh my gosh, we ate so many of them. So many, many. And then me, how it all comes together.
Now let's get on to what we really want to talk about too, because this is such a great journey, especially hearing about you and seeing this evolution, because now in the Sundance Film Festival, it's going to be the premiere of Freaky Tales,
yes.
right? And
you're
in it, Miss Ma'am.
I'm in it. Yes, I am. I am in it. That was a huge opportunity. At the time when I auditioned, I didn't realize how huge it was. Once I got right. on set, I realized how huge it was and the people that I was working with. True delight. I have to tell you about actually the interview. The audition. So I do my self-tape audition and it goes fine. The callback audition, I'm in my condo and I've set up and I'm auditioning. I get on before I'm supposed to. They're like, no, you need to come back. Okay. So then I get on again and the internet is not working. Like, oh no. Okay, so I run to another room, and I'm sure they're thinking, this woman here. So I set up my tripod, my iPad, and it's half working. I'm thinking, oh, no. I said, and then I had my little lines in front of me. Well, my lines were back in the other room. Mm-hmm. Okay, oh, but we just got to go for it. Well, and I did, and here we are. But that was, yeah, that wasn't necessarily the best technical setup, shall we say. But anyway, so I booked the role, and it shot in Oakland, and it was wonderful. And I'm super excited. I had no idea that it was going to premiere at Sundance. I did know from reading write-ups that it was going to probably hit the festival circuit. But being new mm-hmm. in this industry, I didn't quite know what that meant. And so the fact that yes. the festival circuit and Sundance, one of the top festivals in the world, it's uber exciting.
Yeah, Sundance is, I don't think people really understand the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of films that Sundance has to go through. So when you are in Sundance, it's like, okay, I always tell people, you can kind of anticipate that this is about
they
to blow
went
up.
Through, it says 17,000 some odd films to come down to 91.
Shout out to the people who have to go
through
all
that. Them. Shout out to them.
Because that is a lot. Now, I just want to give the ladies who are watching, let me just help, because I don't think you're really understanding how excited you should be about this film. So, The Heartthrobs. I'm just going to tell you The Heartthrobs. The Mandalorian. I love The Mandalorian, y'all. Pedro Pascal is in this movie. I don't even know.
Yes, he
I have
is.
To really go
yes,
on
he is.
In that.
Now, I didn't get to work with him, but yes, he is.
But you also are playing the mother of another heartthrob that I know my audience is going to know. Y'all know Jay Ellis. Y'all know him from Insecure.
And he is a heartthrob. I did. We mm-hmm. were worked overnight, like 2 or 3 a.m. waiting for our different shots. So I got a chance to have conversations with him. Uber nice guy. Very, very nice guy. Yes.
Yeah.
And a heartthrob, like you said.
And he is a heartthrob. I'm interested how... Because I know sometimes that the relationships does help when you guys have conversations offset. Like, how did your offset conationsreally develop your onset relationship?
Well, we had a lot of offset conversations because, like I said, my call time that day was like 12 in the afternoon, and we wrapped about 5 a.m. the next morning. So as you mm-hmm. get further Jeez. Into the evening, you just start talking about all kinds of stuff. Because you're trying to stay mm-hmm. awake and alert, which allowed me to learn more about him. We don't have any actual scenes together, but it allowed me to have conversation and actually feel more relaxed because he's such a great actor. And here I am with right. my first role trying to be, you know, calm and all that. And he was very comforting. Mm-hmm.
This is your first role, but it's not your last. But when you did get that call for this, what was your first thought?
Yes.
How did you celebrate?
Yes, just like this.
Yes.
I did it. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was shot a year ago. So I'm really like,
okay.
Yes, I'm the newbie and I'm in this and I'm defying age and I'm defying all of these things. Yes. And thank you, God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. This is such a great journey to hear your journey. And then to older women, older people in general, who all sometimes there is that reluctancy because now you done got comfortable, right?
Yeah.
In whatever station you're in life, you've gotten a little bit comfortable. But here you are, this success story, because you stepped out not only in faith in God and in faith in what you love, but in faith in yourself as well. So what would be your message to people who are on that fence
right now?
Well,
my first message, and I may have said it earlier, is if you think you can or if you think you can't, either way, you're right. You've got to step out and do it. Nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody, they'll sit and listen and You've got to take the first step. And can it be scary? Yes. Can it be difficult? Yes. But we all know what fear is, what false evidence appearing real. That you can talk yourself up on that ledge and never do anything, never leave your house. So I say, go for it. And what happens if you fail? You fail. And try again. My mom used to tell me, worry about things that'll matter in 100 years. Which
right.
is not too much.
I love that.
So that's my message. Step out and do it.
How's your mom feel? I know she wanted you. You're going to go be an engineer. How's she feeling now?
Mom has always, no matter what I did, she'd always say, but God has a special plan for you. The best is yet to come, mm-hmm. no matter what. I mean, I actually was a professor at Purdue University at one point, and God has a special plan for you. It was always so. She's excited.
I'm so excited for you. I know I don't want to spoil the film in any way, but if you could give us just a little snippet of your favorite scene in the movie.
I can't spoil it because I only know my scene. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that means you've got to be so excited to just sit down at Sundance and not only see it for yourself, but see the reaction from other people as they see it.
Yes, I am. I'm going to say that I am excited. And I'm going to be there, bells and whistles. Excited about it.
Yay.
And wrapped up, it's going to take me back to embracing Indianapolis because I think the temperature is like 31 or something like that.
Ooh. Jeez. I need to stop complaining about this weather in California.
Yes, you do. But it's going to be amazing. Just amazing.
Yes. I am so excited for you. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope that you will come back every time there's a new chapter in your book, including you writing your book. I would love to continue to share your journey with my audience. And again, I am so inspired by you, and just your energy is so contagious. And I thank you for being an open book, and I really appreciate
it. It was a pleasure being here, and I would love to come back anytime.
Now, I know y'all saw, if y'all watching this, I know y'all saw my hair was a little different. That's okay. I held on to that one for a while because I just really wanted to present that at the right time. And now it just really feels like the right time. Please take all those nuggets from her. Please understand exactly what she said. It's only too late after you're in the ground, but you can step out right now. Take a chance on yourself. There's nothing better to take a chance on than to take a chance on yourself. I promise you that. So make sure you follow Cheryl Vienna everywhere. Make sure you follow me, subscribe, follow me on Instagram @JackieRayTV. And remember, you guys, life is short, so make it good.